Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see friends that are close, friends from far, friends from a long time ago joining us here today. I almost feel a little bit guilty. It's almost like we're having a lot of fun doing this, and it almost feels like we shouldn't. But chatting online during the service is great. There is one thing, I don't want to depress anybody, but one thing that hit me a little bit was Thursday was Major League Baseball's opening day, and no baseball. We're in a crisis, we're in a pandemic, and people have all kinds of questions. Will we survive? Will we thrive? The biggest question I have for us as followers of Jesus, will we respond as the body of Christ to the fears and needs of our culture when everything else our culture is depending on is compromised or crushed? We have a huge problem, but we also have a huge opportunity. And we're going to be talking this morning about spiritual gifts. We're continuing our series. But before I do that, I want to read a verse from Ephesians. And I really hate to do this because I've never, ever done it yet in public at Crosslands. But I'm going to cave. It's probably more depressing than... And Mariah's laughing out loud that I put my reading glasses on. Out loud. Okay, Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10 says this: God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You might have heard that verse before in maybe another translation. It's by grace we've been saved, not of works, so none of us can boast, through faith. There's a lot packed into those three short verses. And one of them is that this is truly a gift from God. Our inclusion into God's family is a gift to us. The original language, when it says we are saved by grace through faith, we traditionally translate that as through our belief, our faith, our trust in God, but it can just as easily be translated, or just as appropriately be translated, by faithfulness. So that God has saved us through his faithfulness, through the faithfulness of Jesus the Messiah. And so that's why we can't take any credit for it. Jesus' faithfulness enables us to become part of his family, to have access to that, the word salvation, which is being saved from the threat of permanent punishment, but it's also saved to the family of God. It's not a reward for the good things we have done. So we are not included in the family because we deserve it or because we have earned something. But the next sentence is this: we are God's masterpiece. The word for masterpiece there in the original language is the same word that you could use to translate something crafted as a work of art. Now, some of us don't feel like that. Now, think about it. God created you as a masterful work of art. He made you. Now, God created us to love us, and we rest in that love, but he also created us for something else. He says he created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. Now, a long time ago, a really long time ago, when the curse was introduced to the world, from the beginning, God has been combating that curse, working against it through his covenants, his agreements with Abraham, with Moses, with David, all the way leading up to Jesus, who, as his chosen one, is the fulfillment of all of his aims to combat the curse, to overcome the things that would kill us and destroy us. Ultimately, the personified evil, the devil, Satan, but also the curse that is built into the fabric of reality. We look at our situation today. COVID-19 is a manifestation of that, and at this point, there's a lot we still don't know. A lot of us are holed up safely in our houses. That's fine. But now we face the threat of the looming economic crisis. There are people that still face the threat of really bad sickness or even death from this. And here's where we are not just welcomed into the family. We are enlisted into that fight against the curse. We are God's masterpiece, a carefully crafted piece of art. He's planned for us good things to do, and those things are coming up real soon. We will have opportunities and responsibilities to be the active, living body of Christ, what Jesus would be doing on this earth, to combat that curse. And that does two things. First, it alleviates pain and suffering. But the second, it's also we are the testimony to Jesus the Messiah. As we are actively living out following Jesus and combating the curse, it shines a light on who Jesus is to the world, especially in a culture where the testimony of Jesus has been marred and distorted and corrupted for so long. In the meantime, maybe you're working real hard, you're working in an essential service, or maybe you're stuck at home thinking life is just passing you by and you're just keeping the kids busy and watching Netflix. This is the time to put your spiritual roots deep in Him. This is the time where it may feel like a dry season, but the season of bearing fruit is coming soon. And the deeper your roots grow now, the more fruit you will bear in the coming season. This is why we have perpetuated or kept going with this message series on spiritual gifts, because now is the time to begin to familiarize with and activate the gifts that God has for you, the spiritual gifts that He has planted into your life, so you and we together can be that diverse body of Christ living this out. As we move on into the message, I do want to remind you to keep chatting online, engage. If you have questions, discussion, it doesn't bother me if you're doing that. You can also text me. I think my number's at the top of the screen. If we have time at the end, which we should, because we're not really stuck on time. Where are you going to go? And if you leave, I wouldn't know. So we'll take the time to take text messages if they come in. We've had them coming in lately. And so just a bit of a recap. Thus far, we've seen that God gives us gifts as He sees fit. Okay, it's not about us getting the gifts we want. In fact, sometimes we have a sense that there are certain gifts we don't want. God gives us gifts. He has them for us. They are His gifts. And the expectation is that we grow in those, we activate them, and we work together. Everybody's different. Everybody gets a different gift or a different set of gifts. The second part of that, though, the corollary to that, is that we grow in discipline. So discipline is how we grow. Gifts are how we serve. And I'm going to talk, kind of reference back that as we go on. Last week talked about the professing gifts. I divided up sort of arbitrarily into four groups, and I think it's on screen. You can see professing gifts, the speech ones, practical gifts, power gifts, and positional gifts. And I was going to try to cover all of the practical gifts today, but I feel like I can't do that without doing justice to the ones we're going to talk about. So I'm cutting it in half. I'm going to talk about half of them. And so the first one, this is practical. The first gift we're going to talk about is encouraging. Thank you. Encouraging, now we can all encourage, but this is a supernatural ability to motivate people to keep doing what they are doing well. So to encourage somebody is, you know, they are doing something well, you say keep doing that, and an ability to make that actually happen in somebody's life. Now, what's an indicator of that? If you might have the gift of encouraging, if you are a generally positive person, if you recognize those around you who might be down, and you have a sense of responsibility for others. Not everybody has that. That's the reality. What happens when that gift is present in the church? It builds stamina in hard times. So as a pastor, I've gone through many hard times and in many different circumstances, many different settings, and for many different reasons. And when somebody comes alongside and encourages you in those situations, it helps you to keep going. And as a church body as a whole, it helps us to keep going when times are hard. It gives us momentum in good times. So when things are going well and we're doing things well, encouragement helps us to be consistent in that, maybe even ratchet up a notch. And I find that the gift of encouragement also tends to be inclusive. An encourager might look around at somebody who's on the fringe and encourage them to be part of the body as a whole, maybe to activate their own spiritual gifts. Now, what happens when this gift is absent in the church, when we don't see that gift of encouragement being activated? We see a demoralization. We see a lack of energy. When circumstances hit hard, they hit really hard because there isn't that sense of encouragement to keep going. Now, if you suspect you have a gift of encouragement, here's something to watch for. Sometimes we encourage when correction is necessary. Now, there is a balance to this gift. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But there are times when we might want to encourage somebody in what they're doing, but there are things they really have to change. So we'll talk about how that balance happens. Sometimes we also, when people strive to encourage, encouragement, now people might encourage without the gift of encouragement, and sometimes that can go badly. I remember I was working in another church, and my brother-in-law was actually active in that church for a short time, was living with us. He's watching with us this morning. Hello. And he was drumming in the church. And that church went through a lot of tough times. And somebody at one point had implemented a practice where they would write out once a month, one Sunday a month, I think it was the first Sunday, they would write out, just write an encouragement card and give it to somebody else in the church. And I remember the one Sunday when my brother-in-law got an encouragement card, and the encouragement card said something like, "It's nice to see you on the worship team, but maybe you shouldn't play the drums so loud." Okay, that's not encouragement. That's criticism. And so if you have a gift of encouragement, you're likely not to criticize. But if you feel the need to criticize somebody, that's not encouraging at all. As a reminder, this is where we serve in our gifts, but we grow in our discipline. We are all called to encourage one another. Nobody's exempted from that. The difference is somebody with a gift of encouragement, this is their sweet spot. This is something that invigorates them, it enlivens them. This is something that it comes as naturally as breathing. If it doesn't come as naturally as breathing to you, you still have to encourage people, but maybe you're gonna look somewhere else to find out where your spiritual gifts are. So that's the gift of encouragement. The next gift I want to talk about is exhorting. Exhorting is not a word we tend to use in our English language. It's a little bit of an obsolete word. And it's very similar to encouragement. Exhorting is like encouragement, but rather than motivating people to keep doing what they are doing, exhortation is more like a supernatural ability to motivate people to go beyond what they're doing or to correct their behavior. Okay, so this is that balance to encouragement. Somebody has a gift of exhortation, but if somebody truly has this gift, it comes across well. It's sort of like when you meet with your boss and he encourages you, and you walk out of the meeting, and half an hour later you went, "Oh, I think he just completely corrected me and said I was doing everything wrong," but it just sounded so nice when he said it. I have a friend who used to be a pastor years ago, and his wife told me, my husband was the kind of person who could tell somebody to go to hell and make them want to go. So, I mean, that's sort of maybe an off-color illustration or example of it, but the idea that you can correct somebody's behavior or call them out on somebody, but you do it so nicely that it actually sinks in, but they're not offended. If you might have this gift, here's some indicators. If you have a sense of the need to correct somebody, but you do it actually in love, not judgment. Too many people say, "I need to correct you," and I do it in love, but it doesn't come across as loving at all. This is in contrast to, we talked about last week about the gift of prophecy. So the gift of prophecy can come across as harsh. It shouldn't, but it can come across as strong and judgmental. This is like the soft version of that. Again, I mentioned last week, I don't know that Paul breaks these gifts all apart into hard little boxes. We like that in our sort of a Western way of thinking. So I'm sort of accommodating that, but there's a strong similarity between prophecy and exhortation, but exhortation doesn't come across as strong. So what happens when this gift is present in the church? When this gift is present and active in the church grows towards health and holiness. The church increases in its effectiveness in what it does because the things that need to change are changing. What happens when the gift is absent in the church? Here's an extreme example. We might feel really good about ourselves. We might be real happy to get together. We might have a strong sense of community with one another, but we're not actually improving. We're not actually moving forward in the mission. We're just sort of a happy group of people who are really happy with one another, and that's not a good place to be. Here are things to watch for with the gift of exhortation. Be careful of judgmentalism. So if you have a natural inclination or a supernatural inclination to exhort somebody or even to have a specific exhortation message to somebody, be careful that we don't add our own judgmentalism to that, or even worse, to attribute motive to somebody. We can see somebody, maybe you see somebody who is who comes across as lazy. Maybe they don't have the same work ethic that you do or you perceive that they should have. And the reality is you're seeing an external behavior, but you don't know the backstory. You don't know where they've come from. You don't know the circumstances they're dealing with. Some people have debilitating pain or debilitating illness. And unless you know that, you come to a premature judgment. So that's something to be very careful about. So that's encouragement, exhortation. Next, I want to talk about giving. Very simply, the gift, supernatural gift of giving from the Spirit is supernatural generosity. It's really quite simple. Here's an indicator. An indicator of the gift of giving from the Spirit is that you look for opportunities to give. You look for opportunities to make giving happen. I remember when Pastor Claudette was speaking quite a few weeks ago now, and she said that was one of the gifts that she had. And sometimes we fall into the trap of believing that somebody with a supernatural gift of giving is wealthy. The reality is that some people that are wealthy have the supernatural gift of giving, and some people that are wealthy do not. That is not an indicator. It doesn't correlate directly. You may not have a lot of money. You may still have the gift of giving. The church that I grew up in my teen years, we would do like a youth retreat once or twice a year, and almost every time there would be somebody would come to the church and say, here is money for a youth that can't afford to go to the retreat, and they would cover their registration costs. And many times those were single older women that were living like on their pension. And they would live frugally so that they could take the extra money and pay for a youth member to go on a youth retreat. That's the gift of giving. What happens when the gift is present in the church? When it's present, the mission can move forward effectively, unhampered by budget restriction. Not just in-house, not just paying the bills, but also so the mission of the church can move forward. Evangelism, missions around the world. That's what happens when the gift is present. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but we had a gift come in 2 weeks ago that was quite large, and it was from somebody that is not wealthy. And the timing of that gift, and I believe that may be one of those situations where it's a supernatural gift from God, the timing of that gift sets us up possibly to weather this economic crisis that's coming in the near future, because it kind of came out of nowhere, and the timing was incredibly providential. And so God gives these gifts to the church, and when they are activated, the church continues to move forward. I will say this. I was going to say this before, and I forgot. There are people with the means to give, or with the gift of giving, that will look to increase their income so that they can increase giving. There are some entrepreneurs that are like this. I'm going to start a business so I can take the money I make from that business to give to wherever, and they're looking for this opportunity, for missions, for benevolent organizations. When the gift is absent in the church, and the church can feel squeezed. Now, we've gone through a lot of really rough financial times in the church, and we felt that, and it can hamper missions, it can hamper the ministry of the church, and it feels like many times we're doing things on a shoestring budget. So this is a gift that's definitely needed. Now, here are things to watch for. If you have a gift of giving, that can get out there. I know we've had this at our church where we've given a significant amount of money to missions. We, because of how much it was squeezing our ministry, in-house ministry budgets, over the past couple of years, we drastically dropped our missions giving. And I had a letter on my desk today, Mail's Essential Service still coming, that we are still among the top 200 mission-supporting churches in Canada. And we used to give a lot more. And what happens is, It's like it gets out there, and I would have missionaries contacting all the time. I would have organizations contacting us all the time. We had this reputation out there that we were a very wealthy church, because even though we were squeezed, we were still supporting missions heavily. And so when you become a giver, when you are activating your gift of giving, that can get out there. So my cousin, she actually asked me about this. She says, you know, we give to our church, we give to missions, and somebody came to me and they were putting a lot of pressure on us to support their particular missions endeavor. And we're not sure what to do with this because we're not sure that God is leading us to do that. And it just seems kind of off. So I had a long conversation with them about it. And I said, you know, when you're supporting somebody's mission, now this is different from a tithe where you're giving God your 10% off the top. There should be an accountability there. And it seemed like that was missing. And there was also a manipulation there where somebody else is telling you that you have to give to them. Okay, that's not their job. God will tell you, if you have the gift of giving, to whom to give it. And he may also tell you to whom not to give it. We had good friends, this has got to be 8 or 9 years ago, maybe even more, and they were part of Crossland's Church at the time, and they were very generous. They didn't make a ton of money, but they were very generous to help individuals in need. And they told us one time that there was another couple in the church, and they were in financial hardship, and they said, we were going to help them out financially. And I'm not talking about $100. Like, they would give a couple of grand to somebody who was in need. And they said, we prayed about it, and God said no. So when you have the gift of giving, there can be a natural inclination to just kind of put the money everywhere. It has to be submitted to God's overall intentions. So you have to be careful that other people don't manipulate you. You have to be careful that you don't fall into almost a trap of giving indiscriminately instead of asking God to direct where it goes. Now, here's where I struggle with this a little bit. So when it comes to spiritual gifts in the church, we want to affirm and we want to celebrate all the gifts in action. And for me personally, and maybe other people on staff don't feel this, I feel it really tough to celebrate the gift of giving, because when some people in our culture are so cynical about money, right? And so when we talk about money, people get their backs up and people get upset and people feel manipulation where there's no intent to manipulate. And so when somebody gives generously to the church, I would love to be able to say, let's celebrate that person gives generally to the church, generously to the church. And yet we always fear the elevating the importance of somebody for giving money, and yet they're just activating their gift. They're just working in their gift. Now, I'm not exactly sure what to do with that. Maybe I will feel more freedom later on to celebrate people. I know many people that have given quite large amounts to the church in the past have specifically asked us not to mention it, not to say who did it. And so we usually will mention at a certain time, you know, somebody gave a gift, we tend not to say who it is, but it feels like I'm handcuffed, that it's hard to celebrate somebody activating their gift of giving. And yeah, there we go. Our responsibility on this end, as we administrate, is to be good stewards with the finances, and that's something we've strived to do. It's really important, and it seems easier to be to have that as an emphasis when times are lean. It's harder to have that emphasis when times are really good. But we always strive to be wise stewards of the finances, because this is people's livelihood that they are giving, and it's our responsibility to do that, and we're answerable to God for that. As a reminder, as in all the other gifts of the Spirit, if giving is not your gift, we are still all responsible to give as a discipline. So you may not feel invigorated or enlivened by giving, and you may go, like it just seems hard. Yeah, we're still all called to do that. Like all the other gifts, giving is a part of what it means to follow Jesus. So this is not a giving sermon, so I'm going to move on to the last gift we're going to talk about today. Yeah, we're at 12:15 already. So again, I can't see if you're in your pajamas or if you walk away, so I think we're okay to keep going. The last gift I want to talk about today is helping. Shout out to Patricia Beard, who specifically asked on the YouTube chat last week about the helping gift. So we're going to talk about it today. It's the supernatural ability to serve practically. Here's an example. Many years ago, we were running Alpha. This is before we had the annex. We ran it in the lobby here. And to run Alpha, it meant all bunch of tables and chairs had to be set up. And we had one guy in our church who would, every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, would come right from work, set up all the chairs and tables, and then go home, and then the Alpha people would come and set it all up and run the ministry. And when it was done, he would come back and put it all away. And he didn't want attention. He felt good about doing this. Now, for many of us, again, there's the discipline versus gift. That would kill me. Setting up tables. He just loved that. I have a good friend who used to attend Crosslands, and he would come in, and he was the last person to want any kind of attention. And he would come in and change light bulbs. And I remember one time he had offered to change out a whole bunch of ceiling tiles. So he's an early morning person too, which boggles my mind, but that's who he is. And so he came in early morning. He had access to the building. He backs his truck up by the main entrance here just behind me, and he was upstairs grabbing ceiling tiles. Well, the cops came by. They see the doors open with the truck backed up, and they were very concerned. So they come into the building, and he's coming down the stairs from upstairs with a whole pile of ceiling tiles, like, way over his head, and they were at the bottom of the stairs. He couldn't see them at all. What are you doing here? Anyway, he almost pooped his pants, but he survived that. But that's another example of somebody that's always looking for the gift, the opportunity to serve practically. What's an indicator? How do you know when you have this? You are that person, if you notice when the lights are burnt out and you say, I want to do something about it. When you notice that the door stops aren't working or are broken off or something like that, you're looking for those practical experiences. Somebody with this gift tends not to look for the limelight. Now, that's not always the case because everybody's different. What happens when this gift is present in the church? When this gift is present in the church, it means that the church operates like a smoothly running machine. Not only that, it operates so that people who have other gifts can properly function in those gifts rather than doing stuff that needs to be done. So in contrast, when the gift is absent in the church, sooner or later stuff has to be done. A doorstop has to be fixed. And so stuff either falls apart or has to be done by somebody for whom doing these things is difficult, not enjoyable, an energy drain, and it might be done poorly. And so many times in our past, we don't always have a ton of people, and we're not really exactly sure the best way to make this happen. I know Claudette has a list of people that are willing to help out, and we're trying to administrate that effectively. But there are times when I fix stuff in the church and in the building, and yeah, it's not done well. It drives me nuts. Now, and it's taking time away from the things that I really need to be doing. So I don't really mind. It's just, it could be done better. Here are things to watch for. When you have the gift of helping or serving, it's very easy for people to take advantage of you. This is like the giving thing. You have to learn to say yes to the things God is calling you to serve in, and know when you're becoming overcommitted or when your priorities are getting distorted. This is very, very important for somebody with this gift. As a reminder, helping and serving is also the way we grow as a discipline. So I mentioned this two weeks ago, when I was talking about an example in this exact gift, when nobody's too important to clean a toilet. So we have to be willing to serve, and we grow in that discipline, even if it's not our gift. Serving and helping is not above anybody. So those are the four gifts we're going to talk about. We're going to continue on the practical gifts next week. These are the gifts from the Spirit, God's Spirit, to build His church. And as the church is effective in the practical gifts, it is more effective in the witness to Jesus the Messiah in its unity and holiness. So for the practical going forward, I would encourage you to, as we do on a weekly basis, to ask God to reveal to you the gifts you have, even if you don't know what they are, or especially if you don't know what they are, and how do I activate this going forward? Now, we're going to do a little bit more, but I do want to do text messages while we're still on the topic of gifts. Let's see what we have. How can we continue to be pursuing God and the gifts He has for us when we feel no motivation during the season? Without being able to physically meet with believers, I feel constantly drained of my usual passion and energy. Okay, that sounds like a text from an extrovert. The first thing is, one, you can connect with people virtually. So Zoom is, and I know it's less than ideal, and I apologize because as an introvert, I have a hard time understanding this. When I have to work at home, I'm in heaven. I love it. When it's quiet, I love it. When it comes to pursuing the gifts, at this point, I would say pray for God to reveal your gift, and then pray for God to reveal to you the next step in activating that gift. And the time will come, depending on which gift, because some of them you can do now. You can exhort or encourage somebody via text or a phone call. The practical ones are more difficult, but you can gear up for the launch time, right? It's like you're revving your wheels, waiting to hit the launch. If you're into race cars, you know, you might know that. You're ready to go. You're primed for that. In terms of motivation, there's that discipline as growth, right? So discipline yourself in the areas that maybe don't come naturally to you or supernaturally to you as a spiritual gift. As I said earlier, plug your roots in deep to engage with God. Remember that the gifts are the way we serve. We are all still called to grow in our relationship with Him, and that's the foundation from which we operate, and now's the time to do that. I hope that answers your question. Make sure you use the sanitizer right away after sharing that mic. Yes, I will. Thank you. We appreciate your efforts to keep the services rolling. It's so important to stay connected. Yes, thank you for that. And I would also encourage all of you to stay connected outside of the Sunday morning live stream, right? Phone calls, texts. Who do you know in the church? Get Zoom. Zoom is free. You can have a 45-minute group conversation. If you're part of a small group, connect through Zoom. And there are other online applications as well, WhatsApp and GoToMeeting and so on. This is one thing I'm having a bit of a hard time with, that more people are not starting small groups. It's not that hard. Talk to Claudette and you're sitting bored at home. Man, connect to the people in the church. Start a small group. We can even give you content to facilitate that. Donovan remembers those encouragement cards. Yeah, hi Donovan, thanks for pointing that out. I wonder if Matt remembers actually getting that one about the drumming too loud. Thank you for the message. Are these gifts all unique to us from birth, or they can be cultivated? So no and yes. We have access to the gifts after we become follower of Jesus. So we're not talking about natural talent here, or natural ability, or trained ability. We're going to talk about the gift of teaching next week. That's a spiritual gift that's different from being able to teach effectively in a classroom. You can be an effective teacher, doesn't make give you the spiritual gift of teaching, which has a nuance to it, which I'll talk about. Actually, it's not going to be next week, it's going to be 2 weeks. And so when you become a follower of Jesus, now the turn on point is available for you, and they can be and should be cultivated. We talked last week on the speaking gifts, the professing gifts, and because of the dangers and errors when you're working with something powerful, it needs to be cultivated. You need to be able to implement health and what would the word be? Effective safety in those things, so people don't go off and do damage. So yes, they absolutely need to be cultivated. Can giving be more than just money, like time and resources? Resources, yes. As soon as you're talking time, you're starting to talk about serving. And so I think there's a very distinct difference there. Like serving is the giving of time. And again, I'm not sure that Paul would divide these gifts up into the same kinds of boxes that we would. And so I'm sure that there's an overlap. The one danger, I knew a guy that used to say, I don't need to tithe my money to the church. I give my time. And I think, really? You give one-tenth of your time? No, you don't. Not even close. But the other thing is that why is money such a hang-up for people? It has such a hold so that we justify it by saying things like that. So yeah, it's a both end. But again, somebody with the gift of giving is never, they never say, oh, I gave my 10% and I'm done. Somebody with the gift of giving is always looking at more than that. And I know people with the gift of giving, we have somebody in our church, they regularly give, and I mean regularly, like at least monthly when we're running normal, material things for the youth, for the just the regular ongoings of the church. And it costs them. It costs them money to give those material items. So yeah, that's absolutely both the same. You have to keep in mind too that when these texts were written, money was not the only means of exchange. There was a strong economic means of exchange at that time, Roman coin and all that other stuff. But people would also give of material possessions. Acts chapter 3, I believe, talks about Barnabas selling his land and giving the money to the church, right? So he's leveraging a possession to make that happen. There's all kinds of theology around that that's more meaningful than I have time to get into right now, but it was cool. Can you have more than one gift, or is that greedy? LOL. Absolutely not greedy. I believe that probably most people have more than one. Maybe you just have one, but I do think that most people have more than one gift. Possibly everybody has more than one gift. Paul also encourages us to pray for the gift of prophecy, or the gifts that edify the church as a whole, rather than just the gifts that edify us. And we talked about that last week, where praying in tongues edifies us. If there's no interpretation, it does not edify the body. And so you're allowed to pray for gifts you don't have. We have to be careful that we don't develop what I call American Idol syndrome. I want to be on stage. I want attention. Really unhealthy. And somebody once described that as gift envy. Gift envy is dangerous. So if you don't have a gift and you want it, I would say start by recognizing and activating the gifts you have, and if there's need for further, pray for those other gifts. I hope that makes sense. Just got a couple more. Is there any way the church can set up e-transfer to give? That conversation already came up on the YouTube chat. Right now, no. We're looking for ways to make that happen, and I know I apologize because it's really inconvenient. People don't want to use a credit card. I get that. There are issues with that hopefully we can overcome. I don't know how quickly we could, if we could, but we're working on that. Finally, last one, where can you learn more about the gift of exhortation? You thought the video froze, didn't you? I have no idea. I apologize. I'm going to have to dig into that, and maybe I will. I think the best way to do it is to text you back individually for that. Yeah, I apologize. I don't have anything off the top of my head. That's great. I appreciate all those text messages. Thank you for texting. Some really good questions there. I want to now give, maybe you're watching this and you're sneaking in to spy on what's going on at Crossland Church. It's great. We appreciate that. We welcome you to spy on us. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, and I want to give you the opportunity right now to become one. So when I talked earlier about you being God's workmanship, you are. You are a piece of art that God made to be Christ-like and to be part of the solution for this world. To do that, we have to go all in following Jesus. So how do you do that? It's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you need God. Admit that there is a life that is better than you have right now. Admit that you are not reaching your potential as a human being. That we sometimes do things that we know are wrong and we still do those. We're addicted to our wrongdoing, to our bad habits. So it has to start by recognizing and acknowledging that. I admit where I am right now is not good enough. B is stands for believe, which is it's not just holding a particular opinion or changing an opinion. It's changing your allegiance. It's changing your trust. Before, I trusted all my own decisions. Before, I trusted the economy. Before, I trusted the scientists. I need to change my allegiance and my trust completely to Jesus, because through his death and resurrection, he has made access available to relationship with the Creator who made me to love me, who created me as a piece of art. And then C is commit to him completely. That's the going all in part. So A, admit, B, believe, C, commit. And I would encourage you this, don't put this off. You go back to normal in tomorrow or a week or 2 weeks, and the important questions of life fade to the background. We get busy again, and we just fall into our routine again. This may be your opportune time to become a follower of Jesus, and I would encourage you to take that very seriously. Now, I'm going to pray for you, and I would welcome you to pray these words. I don't care if you do them out loud in your home or if you say them in your head. There is something, you know, positive about saying them out loud, especially when there's, you know, nobody around, but it's for you. And it's as simple as this. I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you that you love me, that you made me as a piece of art. I admit that what I'm doing is not working. And so I choose to trust you. I choose to place my allegiance in Jesus, who died for me, rose again to make access to you available. And I choose to commit to you today, starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're doing that for the first time today, we cannot follow Jesus alone. We are called to walk together. And so what I'd like you to do is go on to our access point online, which is crosslands.live, crosslands.live, and click the Follow Jesus button and put in your name and our means to contact you. And we want to help you in your spiritual journey, in your spiritual life. This is something we at Crosslands Church, we're all doing. We're striving to follow Jesus together. We do it imperfectly, but we need one another to do this. Finally, I want to leave you with one last thing. I would like you to join me in prayer, and we're going to pray at the end of every message, every service, specifically for the present crisis. And so today I'm going to be praying for our government and be praying for our first responders, frontline healthcare workers, and, you know, the people that are working at the grocery stores that are, you know, some of them are getting sick. Some of them are getting this because they are keeping the stores open so we can have food and the resources and the toilet paper that we need. And I would encourage you, when you have to go to the store, to treat those people with a lot of respect. A lot of them, they're working minimum wage jobs so we can have food in our fridge and in our cupboards. So let's just pray now. Father, I thank you that none of this is outside of your control. I thank you that you are a good God who loves us. I thank you that you are working to combat the curse. And so Father, right now, I pray for your divine wisdom and protection for our people in government. I pray specifically for Justin Trudeau, that you would give him wisdom, you would give him good counsel, you would surround him with people that would help him make the right decisions. Father, I pray that you would continue to keep him encouraged, that he would have the energy to go from day to day, bearing this huge responsibility in this time of crisis. I pray for Doug Ford in Ontario, that you would give him your divine wisdom as well. You would surround him with good counsel, you would keep him healthy. Father, as these people lead with all the the people, the MPs and MPPs that are leading with them. Father, I pray that you would protect them, give them wisdom, help them to navigate that knife edge fine line between the health of the population now and the economic future of the country in the future. I pray for effectiveness and for safety for our first responders. Father, for our police, our EMS. Father, I even pray for our CAS workers who are always forgotten and have to deal with crisis situations all the time. And I can't imagine how much more difficult that would be right now. Father, I pray for our frontline healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, orderlies, people that are working in the hospitals and the clinics. Father, I pray for safety, for health for them. I pray for rest in the times that they are not working. I pray for that they would be effective for those that are in research, that you would give them wisdom and strategy and innovation when it comes to trying to come up with permanent long-term solutions for this virus, for vaccines. I pray for open communication amongst research facilities around the world, that what they would need to know at this time, they would have access to. And finally, Lord, I pray for those who are on the front lines in our grocery stores, in the places that are serving us and helping us to continue to function, even if we're at home. Father, I pray for stamina, for motivation for them. I pray that you would help them to see how important they are to our society and culture at large. I pray that you would protect them from mistreatment. I pray that you would protect them from discouragement. And I pray that you would protect their health and keep them healthy, Father. Father, I thank you again. You have all this in your hands, and we choose to trust you. Father, help us to be wise, help us to be diligent, and help us to continue to pursue you, to grow deeper in you. Help us to identify the gifts that you have given us with your help, and help us to learn to begin to activate those so that when the opportunity comes, and it's coming soon, we would shine the light of Jesus strongly in our community as we fulfill the needs that come our way. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to consider continuing to pray, and we have music online, and we're going to continue streaming for a little while and continue to engage with God right now over the next little while in terms of how you can dig deeper into your relationship with Him, how you can commit more strongly to Him, how you can identify and activate the gifts that He has given to you. And I wish you well. I ask for God's blessing upon you, for His peace, for His motivation when you need it, and for health. Be well. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.